Good morning, Mill City. So great to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. So this last week, my wife Jossie and I took our oldest son, Parker, to college. And as you can maybe see, it messed me up. I'm not sure if I was ready, but he is. And I'm really excited for him. We really believe that this is such a good step for him. And part of the reason for that is because he has matured nicely. He's ready for this next step. He has the maturity to leave our house, step into this new season of his life. Another word for maturity is becoming. And Parker is maturing, meaning he is becoming the man that we hoped he would be, and he is becoming who we'd hoped for him to be at this point in his life. Well, God's desire for us is to mature and become who he designed us to become. And for us to become who God designed us to become is to become like Jesus, to be one who lives with sacrificial love, who embraces and exudes kindness and joy and peace, the fruits of the Spirit. This is our second week in our three-week vision series, and we're taking an overview and breaking down the Mill City Church vision, which is this: encountering Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did so that Northern Colorado looks more like heaven. Last week, we talked about encountering Jesus, and today, we want to settle in on and unpack becoming like Jesus. If we're going to become like Jesus, we really have to ask, who is Jesus, and what is he like? Several years ago, there was a test done by a professor, and he surveyed hundreds and hundreds of students, asking the question, what is Jesus like? And really kind of trying to get some ideas of his personality and how he interacted and what he thought about things. And, you know, was he moody? And was he nervous? Was he an introvert or an extrovert? What number of the Enneagram was he most like? And then he asked questions about their own personalities. And these were the results, and this is how he described it. Everyone thinks Jesus is just like them. And the administrators of the test said, even though we think we are becoming more like Jesus, the reverse is actually probably more the case. We try to make Jesus like ourselves. In the words of Voltaire, the French philosopher, if God made us in his image, we have returned the favor. So if Jesus is like us, then we actually have no need or feel any motivation to become more like him. But the reality is that I and you have room to grow and mature, to become more like Jesus. To become more like Jesus, to become spiritually mature, isn't just theological maturity, meaning knowing more about God, though that is important. Or even behavioral maturity, having right or virtuous living, though that is important. Christ-like maturity is measured by how transformed we are into the person of Jesus, which means that to become spiritually mature, to become more like Jesus, is a call for radical devotion to the person and teachings of Jesus, which is a stark contrast to the radical devotion of our culture to self-fulfillment and individualism. The call of Jesus is really encapsulated in this very clear invitation. Find this in all of the Gospels, but I'm going to read it out of Luke chapter 9, verse 23 today, where he said, this is Jesus, he said to them all, he's speaking to a group of people that are around him, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple. Now this word disciple would have been an understood word in his day for somebody who would follow a rabbi. Jesus wasn't the first rabbi or first person to have disciples. We know that John the Baptizer had disciples. But to be someone's disciple was to become like them. Whoever wants to be like me is what Jesus is saying. In order for that to be the case, you must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Now, this word disciple is not only about becoming like Jesus, but in our day and age, this word disciple is oftentimes used as a verb. Something that somebody maybe does to us, I being discipled by somebody, or maybe something we do to someone else, I am discipling them. But maybe interchange that word a little bit. To be a believer, they're believering me, I'm believering them. because in Scripture, disciple is actually a noun. It's something you are and something you are continually doing and becoming. Maybe a better word sometimes for the things that we think of when we think of discipleship might actually just be to be a mentor or to be mentored. But I think the better understanding, or maybe the most helpful word for us in our day, is the word apprentice. We might think of a plumber having an apprentice, or an architect having an apprentice. See, to be an apprentice of Jesus is not just to believe in Jesus, but to actually act like Jesus. Jesus was a first century rabbi. And for rabbis to have disciples meant that that person would be around the rabbi, follow the rabbi, become like the rabbi, and ultimately act like the rabbi. And in many cases, become a rabbi themselves that would look like the rabbi that they learned from. Mill City Church is a church that believes strongly in the Bible. But our goal is not just to be a Bible-believing church. Our goal is actually to be a Bible-living church, a Jesus-acting church, that we might not just know about a lot of things and be able to quote Scripture, but we would actually put things into practice, that what we see about Jesus and how we understand God would start to get reflected and expressed in our lives. Now, if you've spent any time following Jesus, if you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus, maybe for longer than a day or two or more, you realize this doesn't just happen by accident. Or just because we want that. I want to become more like Jesus. Dallas Willard, he has since passed, but author, he was a philosophy professor at University of Southern California, wrote a lot about spiritual formation. He says, we don't drift towards discipleship. See, because becoming like Jesus is a journey of intentionality, not just good intentions. Now, as we talk about this and you think about becoming like Jesus, maybe you feel a little overwhelmed and you think, I can't do that. How do I measure? Am I becoming more like Jesus? Well, hopefully we are able to say, I am more loving, I am more patient. But you can't do it. And sometimes maybe just the idea of it feels a little too big. So I think it's helpful that we break it down and we look at Jesus' call for those who want to be a disciple, Luke chapter 9. So I would say this, first of all, to become like Jesus, we die to self. Jesus says that we need to deny ourselves in this particular passage. Paul uses the words of that we need to crucify our old self. That there's this death that happens as we follow Jesus. Thomas Aquinas, spiritual writer, says the more a man dies to himself, the more he begins to live unto God. See, because if we're going to become more like Jesus, we need to become less of ourselves. That does not mean that we lose our individuality. It doesn't mean that there isn't a uniqueness to each one of us. I'm talking about the self that puts the self at the front. I'm talking about the self that makes life all about me. I'm talking about the self that lives with my agenda and my ideas at the forefront rather than God's desires and God's ways. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to what? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we are the ones that bring ourselves to die. Galatians chapter 4 then says, in verse 19, Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So here we have two sides. We have us doing the dying and God doing the forming. See, in this Galatians 4 passage, this Christ being formed in you is a passive, it's written in the passive tense or the passive form, meaning it's not something we do, it's something that God does. God is doing the forming, we do the dying. I'd like for us to come around the reality that our ability to die is directly proportional to our becoming like Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the martyr, German martyr in World War II, says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. To say it another way, you die, God resurrects. There is an old self that God wants to die. But in its place is not just a little bit better, a little tweaked. No, like a new creation is what Scripture says. See, I love this from Acts chapter 2, verse 24. This is the beginning of the early church. Jesus has ascended into heaven, talking about what Jesus had done. And it says in chapter 2, verse 24, small phrase, maybe you've read it a bunch before if you're familiar with the Bible, but God raised him, Jesus, from the dead. Now you might be like, yeah, great. What's the deal about that? The deal about this is this. It says that Jesus didn't raise Jesus from the dead. It said God rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus, who is our model, he is the one that we are following. We do what he did in order to experience and become who he was and is. Jesus' job was the dying. God's job was the resurrection. So we, as followers of Jesus, need to do the same thing. Our job is the dying. God's job is the resurrection. So what do you need to die to today? Is it your need for control? Is it your need to be right? Is it your need to or desire for revenge? Maybe it's your need to share your opinion, or maybe it's your difficulty to listen and to share and have compassion. Maybe it's the need to die to your plan for your life. What that looks like in terms of a career, in terms of relationship, in terms of timing, to put those on the table, to offer your life, every aspect of who you are, as a living sacrifice. So to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus, means there's going to be death. And that is painful, but it's followed by an empty tomb. Because in the way of Jesus, death is always followed by resurrection. Where there is death, there is life. Luke chapter 9, verse 24, the verse after Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life or dies for me will save it. Maybe in the words of Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption, one of the best movies of all time, he says, get busy living or get busy dying. And I would say, get busy dying so that you can live. So we need to die in order to become like Jesus. And to become like Jesus, we follow Jesus, which means that we embrace what he says and how he does it. It is the reason that we need to be faithful to be reading the Gospels. Read the Gospels regularly. to find out, what is Jesus doing? Why did he do that? How did he do that? What did his life look like? And does my life look like his? See, to follow Jesus does not mean we have all the answers. It means we have determined who we believe has all the answers. So to be a disciple of Jesus means I direct my questions to him. And then to follow him is not just to resonate with his answers. See, resonating with answers isn't the same as obeying answers. If we look at the story in the Gospels of Jesus and in his interactions with the rich young ruler, the rich young ruler had said, I've done all the right things. I've done exactly what I was supposed to do. But I'm missing something. What do I have to do? And Jesus responds to him and says, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the rich young ruler says, walked away sad. See, because he basically said no to Jesus. No, Lord. See, but no, Lord is an oxymoron. If Jesus is Lord, we say yes to him. So to follow Jesus is to settle our yes. To settle our yes to Jesus. And to do what Jesus says, even if it hurts, no matter the cost. I've seen people and even followers of Jesus have said, after experiencing something from someone else, deep pain, says, I will never forgive them. Or if I saw that person, I'm going to punch them. And they talk about how they're going to treat them. And I think, really? Is that how we follow Jesus? When Jesus actually says that we are to forgive, to love our enemies? And Jesus never asks any of us to do something he didn't already do. So when he asks us to forgive, when he asks us to love our enemies, that's exactly what he did for the world. The last thing that I think is so important for us that maybe isn't written into this particular verse, but is something that we see as Jesus calls and invites people to follow him, his disciples, all the different people that are around him, and he says, follow me. Because it wasn't just to 12, it was to hundreds, if not thousands. And some said, yes, Lord, and some said no. But those who said yes followed Jesus in community. See, becoming like Jesus happens in community. Jesus calls his disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Andrew, but we never see Jesus meeting with any of them one-on-one. We actually only see, now it's not to say that it didn't happen, but we don't have accounts of this in the gospel. In the gospels, we actually have accounts of Jesus talking with, gathering with, walking with his disciples together. Sometimes a small group, a smaller group, I should say, Peter, James, and John, Jesus' closest, maybe it's the 12, but he's always in a group. He slips away to be with his Father, but we don't see him saying, oh, Peter, your day. James, your day. Because to say yes to Jesus and becoming like Jesus is to say yes to the family of God. Life transformation happens in the context of meaningful, Jesus-centered relationships. Formation in the early church, in this first century, in what we see in the scriptures, and in the centuries to follow, formation in the early church is not focused on the individual or the internal, which is so much of the focus of our day. How is this for me, and what do I need to do on the inside? But rather, the focus is on the communal and the habitual, that which we do daily. That's which we not just think about on the inside, but what are the habits and rhythms culture embraces community, but in a way that doesn't always align with the scripture. Oftentimes, community looks like a collection of individuals. Our self is the highest value. The individual is the most important ideal and value, and that's why whether it's a marriage community of two, the self and the individual takes the highest priority. Or whether it's a small group, whether it's a larger group, at the end of the day, I'm in charge. I'm the one who makes all the decisions. I'm the one that this affects, and if it affects me poorly, then get out of my way. But to follow Jesus is not to fall in line with the culture, not to fall in line with individualism, not to fall in line with consumerism. It's not to fall in line with ourself at the center. It's to fall in line with Jesus at the center and his ways at the center of our life. I cannot encourage you enough. Live in community. Find the friends that will encourage you and challenge you and come alongside you. Because your friends will determine your becoming, honestly, like no other factor I can think of. So we dropped my son off at school this last week. Please hold. I couldn't help but think of the friends that my son was going to make. Thinking back to my own journey and being in college and the significance of the people around me. And the significance of the people around him. College students, as you're starting school this year, make your priority. Not just to make sure that you've got all the other things in place and then I'll figure out my friends. Make a priority to engage and put yourself around the right people. That's why college night is so important. Be at college night. Because the question we're asking ourselves is, who am I becoming? And this question is not just a Christian question, a spiritual question. This is a human question. It's not a, well, I'm not becoming like Jesus, so I don't need to worry about this. I'm not a Christian. No. This is a question for all of humanity. Who are you becoming? And as we referenced last week, our encounters are determined by our attention. And our becoming is determined by our attention as well. And we will become like what we give our attention to. One of the words or phrases in our day and age that maybe has a lot of different definitions is our true self. How do I become my true self? Our world says that we need to look inside to find our true self and to find truth. But God says that in order to find and be our true selves, we actually don't look at ourselves to, because if we look inside, what are we going to find? We're going to find a lot of different things depending on who you are. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I look inside, I find despair. Find hopelessness, but I need to look to the one who is true hope. I need to look to the one who knows exactly who I am and wants to bring out the fullness of God's design in me. And so, as we land this message here today, I just want to ask all of us to ask, what's my next step? What is my next step? What do I do with what I just heard? Maybe for some of you, it's to say yes to Jesus. His invitation to you is the same invitation that was made thousands of years ago to his disciples that actually followed him on the dusty roads of the ancient Middle East. But the invitation is still very, very real to each one of us today. And maybe your response is to say, yes, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to become like you. Maybe you've been far from God and you would need to come home and say, I did follow at one point. I did want to be a disciple. I kind of went my own way, though. And today, Jesus says, come follow me. Be my disciple. If that's you, will you just settle your yes with Jesus today? I say yes to dying. I say yes to following. I say yes to your family. Maybe your next step is to jump into community. City groups launch here in these next couple of weeks. There's going to be a lot of different options. And some of what you may need to rearrange is your schedule in order for this to happen. college students be at college night. It's not just a big event, it's also an opportunity to get into smaller community and city groups. If you're, no matter what your age is, we've got a group for you. There's a group that applies to your stage of life or applies to what God wants to do in you. There's so many different opportunities to jump in. Groups for business owners, groups for men and women. And our goal and our desire as a church is to see each one of us become more like Jesus. And all we can do is set up the opportunities for that to happen. So maybe your next step is to say, I'm going to do it. Maybe for the first time, or to re-engage in community in a greater way. To become more like Jesus. Wherever you are today, let me close by praying. Father, we are grateful for your love and for your mercy. We're grateful for your call and invitation. And God, may we not treat your invitation like all the other invitations we get in life, but I pray that we would realize it is the greatest invitation. And it is an invitation to flourish in life. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would be not like the rich young ruler that says no, but we would be like Andrew, James, and John and the other disciples that said yes, no matter what it costs. I want to be your disciple. I want to be apprentice to Jesus. Become more like him so that my life makes an impact and brings more of heaven to earth. This we pray in the powerful, life-transforming name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.